Welcome to season 3 of Recovery Rocks. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Tawny. We're so excited to be back. And we are also excited to be sponsored by Tempest for this season. Tempest is a program that helps you stop drinking and start feeling better. As of this spring, they have a brand new membership program that offers monthly content, community, and expert guidance. You can learn more about all of their different membership options right now by heading to jointempest.com.
We are huge fans of Tempest. We know what fantastic work they're doing to help people stop drinking.
Absolutely. And what we love about them is that they're also super inclusive of all communities.
What's up, you guys? It's Tawny.
And Lisa. Hey.
Hey. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. Today, we're going to talk about celebrating, right?
Yes. Yes.
We're going to talk about birthdays. So yes. I don't know if that was a word. I just started using it, and I use it all the time now. So
that's basic.
It works. It's like, it's catchy. And it's your sober birthday, your sober anniversary. And
that's what I always learned it as, or I always thought of it as, my sober anniversary.
Yeah. So you think of it more of like an anniversary than a birthday.
I do, but only because that was like the language that was spoken in New York in the rooms that I was in. A lot of people call it birthday. I'm in California now, and they not only refer to it as a birthday when you celebrate another year sober, but actually at some meetings, you get a cake or a cupcake, and people sing, and it's like a happy, you know, it's a celebration. It's a cause for not just for the person, I think, who has, you know, reached another year or a first year or whatever it is, but for everybody else around them who is inspired, who is, you know, has been cheering you on. You know, I think there's always this idea that being in recovery or being sober is like this trudge and it's not, you know, fun and whatever, but, you know, we know that's far from the truth for us. But, you know, it's, I look forward to other people's anniversaries because I get to celebrate with them, you know, so it is a, and it celebrates a year of not just all of the cool things that you get to do in recovery, but of putting behind all the stuff that came before it, you know, another year of not waking up in the morning, you know, wondering who I called the night before. That kind of thing.
I love that you bring in it's something you can celebrate with others, because it's like, you know, when you're going through it, when you're, you know, you've hit your rock bottom or you've decided you want to stop drinking, you know, everyone in your immediate circle is affected by this. And bringing that conversation into, like, you know, the positive light of like, wow, like together, like you stuck with me, I haven't drank in a year, or you know, like that's, you're able to celebrate that, not just yourself, because like, yes, that's important, but together, like with your community, with whether it's a support group or your family or your friends, like it's, we've learned the hard way. We can't do this alone. Right.
Right. And we've helped each other through. So we all get to celebrate. And it's not even, and I know, you know, this, it's not even like just about a year or another year or whatever it is, you know, if you make it one day, that's cause for celebration. Somebody makes it through a holiday weekend, that's cause for celebration. You know, we have to, you know, it is in a sense, and we say this all the time, like it's just another day. So we don't place all kinds of, you know, too much importance on it, because then it becomes this big buildup. And then, you know, the next day's just another day. But it is something that, you know, we've all, it's sort of a group thing, or, you know, even if you're on your own and it's your first sober holiday, you know, that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. What are some ways you've celebrated your sobirthdays in the past?
Good question. So, generally I like to, speak at a meeting. I'm in 12 step, as everybody knows. And you know, I like to speak maybe if not on that day, but sometime around there. I enjoy collecting a coin and, frequently, you know, especially when I was in New York, dinner with or lunch or something with friends, sometimes with sober friends, sometimes not, whatever it is. And, you know, it can be easy to lose track of the fact that, you know, what you're doing is, it's an achievement, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I said, staying sober one day is an achievement. And when you're sober for, you know, a number of years, that each year is important. And it's, it is cause for celebration. I know a lot of people treat it sort of like their real birthday now, which I've never done, but I do like to celebrate. And also, like, I'm really nice to myself around then. You know, sometimes I bought like a little necklace, or, you know, gone for a massage, or did something as like a present to myself. But yeah, so it's a way of, you know, reminding us that, you know, what we're doing is important. And, you know, but at the same time, it is just another day. And the next day you get up, you know, if you have this idea inflated in your head about what your anniversary is going to mean, and if I could just get there, if I could just get there, then if you get there, you know, I knew a guy in my early recovery class, you know, in 12-step, you celebrate 30 days, you celebrate 60 days, you celebrate 90 days is a big one, because 3 months is a big deal. He said he came back after a relapse and he was like, yeah, I celebrated my 90 days by calling my dealer and doing an 8-ball. So, you know, that's, if you're like, oh, I just can't wait to get there, because
that's one way to celebrate. Not a great way to think
about it. You know what I mean? But if you think about like, hey, wow, recognition that I've done this and I'm proud of myself and other people are proud of you, it's cool.
What about you? That reminds me of, you know, my recovery story is very different from yours, as you know. So, you know, I quit drinking for a year to blog about it and learn, you know, learn about my relationship with alcohol. And it was a social experiment. It wasn't, my approach wasn't recovery. It was, I'm not going to drink for a year. And so once that year was coming to an end, I had some friends that were like, your year's almost up. Like, we can go drink together. And, and bless their heart, I was like, I'm good. I was like, I'm actually gonna, this has been a great year, and I'm gonna keep it going. And that reminded me, you're talking about doing an 8-ball. But you know, my most recent sober birthday, I'm November 30th is my anniversary birthday. Last year, 2019, I took myself to see Alanis Morissette by myself. Okay. Yes, but I went by myself and saw her at the Apollo. And that was, you know, like, I treated myself. I was like, you know, the tickets were a little pricey, but I was like, I haven't drank for 4 years. Like, this is amazing. And this, you know, Jagged Little Pill was a very important album to in my whole life. Like, I want to see Alanis Morissette in concert.
Yeah. And like, how much money did you save not drinking over those 4 years to buy an expensive ticket for something you really.
Totally. You know. I mean, what I spent on the ticket, that was like 4 nights of drinking for me.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's all relative, but you know, and there, I think there was something really powerful in going by myself, you know, going to see one of my favorite artists alone and like allowing myself to feel it and cry and not need to, you know, react with a buddy, you know, like, I mean, I love going to shows with a friend, don't get me wrong, but there was something very special about spending this day by myself. And you know, it was exactly what I needed it to be. It was a full celebration.
Right. And then, so like thinking about that idea of, you know, obviously you're getting excited about that and you're looking forward to it and you put thought into what you were going to do that day and all that. How was like the next day? Did you feel a letdown? Did it feel like, oh, you know, now that's over. Okay. Like, how was that?
No, see, like,
they are tricky. And sober birthdays and anniversaries are very tricky, I think.
They can be. And I'm glad you brought that up. For me, the day after, it's very positive for me. But I know, I personally know people that, so the idea of celebrating is triggering because it's a reminder of like, it would have been 15 years, but now it's 1 year.
Because
you know, like they've had a relapse, or, you know, shit happens. And, you know, So like, I understand the concept that it can be triggering. It can be challenging. It's a painful reminder of it could have been more. And yeah. So like, I think it's important to acknowledge that relapse can be part of recovery and that it's okay. Like, it happens. And it's, you know, there's a lot of stigma around that. And I think it's important to highlight that relapse happens. And you know, one of our previous sponsors for this podcast, Monument, you know, we had the founder on and he shared something that you know, you and I love the concept of not so much celebrating the time you've spent not drinking, but like, what have you done instead? So, you know, yeah, I went 4 years without drinking. That's amazing. And, you know, I've gotten X amount of articles published. I fell in love. I got my own apartment. You know, things like that. I'm on a podcast with my hero.
Oh God.
You know, like, so I love that perspective that he brought of, it's not, yes, it's great that you're not drinking. And what are you doing instead of drinking? Like, did you pay off debt? You know, did you buy a house? Did you get a car? Like, I mean, what are some things that you've done?
Alienate your kid, or did you not
did you patch up your relationship with your dad?
Yeah, totally. A relapse is part of most people's story. I mean, that is just a part of most people's story. I have been fortunate that it has not been a part of mine so far, but I don't take that for granted. You know, mm-hmm. Everything is just about today. But for me, it's so interesting. I thought you were going to say when you said, you know, sort of the tricky part about, I didn't expect you to say thinking, but it could have been X many mm-hmm. years. Because what I thought you were going to say and what I have experienced is in the lead up, it's really like a couple weeks to the anniversary. It's like very much like that time of year. Like I start remembering what it was like at the very end. And I start thinking about, you know, throwing up blood in the morning and drinking before I could get out of bed, you know, and how bad it was and then how hard it was to, you know, go to the crazy detox I went to. But also that using sort of that bottom feeling comes around for me too. I'm like, especially in the early years, it was like, oh my God, last year at this time, I was, you know, leaving work to go meet my dealer to shut myself in my apartment all weekend, you know? And, you know, people do get, you know, it is a tricky thing about that. But that's why I think you're, you know, again, like flipping the switch, like, how are you going to look at it? And we get to choose how we want to look at it, right? I mean, that is a question of like, okay, you know, here I can say to myself, ugh, I feel that like squirrely feeling again, like I'm living a double life, like it's not comfortable, I don't like myself, like I was that person going into all of that. But then I have to like flip it and do exactly what you said. But what have you done? You know, wow, let's look back and see what it was, you know, not what got you there or not what it wasn't, but what it is and what it was and what it can be. You know, I feel like every day that we stay sober is another day that we're like, I view them all as little bricks in a wall. And I have to tell you, on my first anniversary, one of my best friends who is not in the program, he was at work. It's one of my friends from the book. And he was at work and he was an investment banker. And he said, you know, he was working really late. He called me and he was like, and I had been to a meeting. I had gone out for some dinner with some sober people from my home group. And he was like, are you up? Can you stay up? And I was like, oh, it's like 9 o'clock. I'm ready for bed. And he was like, just stay up for like, you know, I want to come over. I'm like, you know, we can do, let's just get together. He's like, no, today. And he came over and he had bought me this necklace, this little gold necklace that had three sort of like it was three links in sort of a rectangular shape, one linking to the other. And he was like, I saw this and I had to give it to you for your birthday, for your sober birthday, because I'm so proud of you. And look what you've done. This represents one day after another day after another day.
I love that.
I mean, that was just like so moving to me, you know. I mean, it just meant everything. And it was also really interesting because it demonstrated that over time, the people in my life who at first were like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You don't have a, or whatever it is. Like, what is that all about? Over the course of a year, they come to understand what it was all about. And, you know, to be able to think of that the way he did that was, you know, really special.
That really is. That's a good friend.
Yeah.
That's like, that's really beautiful. And I love like that symbolism of the, you know, the one day at a time and how it tacks on.
And you see, and I, like I said, I think of it as like building something.
Yeah.
Like every day your head hits the pillow sober, or every night your head hits the pillow sober, you wake up and you have added something to the day before. You know, it's like we're walking down this path. We don't know where it goes. We certainly, you and I certainly had no idea where this path would take us.
Oh, no.
But we're just doing it. We're just doing one foot in front of the other.
Well, two things. One, you said brick in the wall, so I think our music minute should be about Pink Floyd.
It wasn't about Alanis Morissette, although it was. But yes.
We can always make time
we
for
Pink
Floyd.
We can talk about Pink Floyd. Yeah.
And two, my first sober birthday, do you remember? I went to your reading.
Yeah.
You're like, you and I followed each other on Instagram, and I was like, I want to do something fun for my first sober birthday. And you had a reading, and I was like, I don't know her, but she wrote a book about sobriety, so like, I'm going to go to this. And I got your book, you signed it, and you gave me your coin. You gave me your
coin. Well,
you
had told me it was going to be your sober birthday.
I know, like, and who would have known? We could have never imagined that would have blossomed into this.
No, and that's the thing too. Like with that coin, I knew that you were in advance. That you know, because we had been on Instagram, and I knew that it was that you were, you know, it was your 1 year, and you know, I didn't know whether you were in 12 step or not, but I just knew 1 year is a big deal, and I had my 1 year coin, and that's what you do with it. You pass it to the next person, you know.
I love that, and it's. I think that's also a testimony to. Going places by yourself. Like I went to this, I was in a law firm. I was like, I don't know what the hell, like this
you
is
were
so
the New
not
York Bar Association at the New York City Bar Association.
Like, I was like, I
it
don't
was,
know, this is
it
not
was
my
pissing rain. And it was the night of the tree lighting right by Rockefeller
right.
Center.
That's right.
I was like nobody's
this is
gonna come to this thing.
There was a good crowd there. And yeah. I was like, but I'm going to go to this, but I guess I'm like all about doing things alone today. But, you know, I went by myself because I wanted to do this thing. I wanted to support this person that inspired me. And then, you know, I had to be okay sitting in that room by myself with a bunch of lawyers and my hair was blue. Do you remember? So like, I was very out of my element. And so like, I really put myself out there for my sobriety, you know, and because I knew it was a good way to celebrate. And I ran into Maya, the sober glow, like I didn't know she was going to be there. So like, you know, you never know. And like now you and I are BFFs and we have a podcast together. Like what the
That's
hell?
That's right. That's right. Who knew? It really is. I mean, it is a testament to it, to just going down the road. And like you said, I mean, that was, you know, that was putting yourself out there. And it's funny because it's not just, I mean, it's a scary thing to walk into a room full of lawyers anytime, but you know, you were willing. And I think, you know, I've seen it in various aspects of the things you do in recovery is, you know, that, there used to be this like sort of adventurous piece of me that did crazy things. You know what I mean? That did dangerous, not healthy, crazy thing. But now that adventurous piece does, you know, cool things and is open to places and things and that, you know, never would have occurred. Like when you were drinking, you never would have thought to go to a talk at the New York City Bar Association.
Hell no. No, that's a really good point. You know, we did a lot of really, you know, quote, adventurous things when we were drinking. Like, I mean, I drove drunk all the time. Like, and that is scary. Like, that is really, dangerous. That is legit danger. And I didn't care. I convinced, I had a cup of coffee before I left the bar and I was like, I'm good. You know, like, I chewed some gum. It's fine. Right. Yeah. And like, I never got pulled over or anything, never hurt anyone. Like, that's wild to me that like I used to do that on a regular basis. And like that, our definition of danger has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's so much more adventurous. It's so much more interesting now.
Yeah, adventure, not danger. Yeah, it was like,
right?
Oh man, like now my idea of adventure is like getting a different Thai dish from my normal Thai restaurant. Like, I'm going to be adventurous and not get number 13. I'm going to try number 14.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. I feel like, but like adventurous now is like, you got on a plane. I'm thinking of, I mean, not just when you came here and we got to hang out together, but you got on a plane and went to LA by yourself to go interview sober porn stars.
Yeah. See, that is so in my comfort zone, though.
Right. But you would have done it when you were drinking.
No, I definitely wouldn't have. I mean, even just, yeah, that was a good time. That was going to a porn star's house and talking to him about sobriety, like one of my top favorite moments of this year.
Seriously. Yeah, I have to say, on my, the weekend before my 1 year anniversary was a friend's wedding. And I've written about this actually. And it was the first, she got married in Park City, Utah. And I flew out by myself for the wedding. And it was my first sober wedding. It was my first sober, like fly somewhere, rent a car, go to do all that stuff. You know, I was totally, I mean, it was out of my element. It was knocking out several firsts that weekend. Like, it was the travel, it was the wedding. And it was also like, I had waited, you know, I followed what my sponsor said and waited 12 months before dipping into the dating pool, so to speak. So it was the first time I met a guy sober, all in that trip. And I just remember coming back from that trip being like, it just affirmed everything I was doing, because I was like, wow, look what I can actually do. It was crazy.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, once you remove this thing, which is alcohol or drugs, whatever it is for you, once you get that out of your way, like, I mean, you were limitless.
Yes.
You are truly, truly limitless.
Yeah. And I think, like, just in sort of wrapping up, like, the thing that we take away from it is that, you know, they can be tricky. They can bring anxiety because they can take you to places about, you know, where you might have been otherwise if you had gotten sober earlier. You can think about what it felt like in the, you know, days leading up for any of those reasons. But, you know, at the end of the day, a year without drinking or whatever it is that, you know, behavior or substance you're dealing with is a big deal and is a cause to celebrate and something to be proud of. So I loved what you said about changing the channel and thinking about, you know, how am I going to think about this? I'm going to think about this in terms of, you know, all the things I did that all the great things that happened.
Yeah. And if the only good thing you could think of is that you didn't drink that day, that's more than enough.
Well, you know, that's my favorite story, right? With the older woman in recovery. When I was first getting sober, I was counting days and I used to go to this meeting and there was an older woman in the meeting and she was there all the time and she had raspy smoker's voice. And, you know, one day I came in, I don't know, I probably had like, you know, less than 30 days and I was, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. I'm like griping. And she just looked at me and she was like, she listens to me and she's looking at me and then she goes, did you drink today? And I said, no. And she said, then it's a perfect day. And at the end of the day, she's right. She's right. Yeah. If I can get my head to hit the pillow, I did what I needed to do today.
You did. And then you literally wrote a book about it. So shout out real quick. Shout out to Lisa's book, Girl Walks Out of the Bar.
Hey, what about the Pink Floyd?
Buy it from your local bookstore.
Favorite Pink Floyd song.
Favorite Pink Floyd song. I mean, it's really cliche, but like Comfortably Numb just like really gets me there.
Oh, I bet.
It's just, I loved it when I was using, when I was like smoking a lot of pot, like that element of Comfortably Numb, and then getting sober, and it's a whole other appreciation.
It brought
for
a new
it.
Meaning, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What My favorite you? Pink Floyd song is Wish You Were Here.
Oh, classic. Fishbowls.
Classic. Classic. I grew up like with The Wall.
That's us, Lisa. But we're two not, lost souls living you were here in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love all the lyrics to that song.
It's a good one. Okay. And, you know, Lisa, but wait, real quick. I want you to know I wish that you were here with me in New York.
Oh, I wish you were here too. I won't sing it because my voice is so bad. But
no, we don't need to sing it, but I wish you were here.
Me too. Till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again to Tempest for making season 3 of Recovery Rocks possible. You can find my work at tawnylara.com, TawnyLara. Find me on social media at Tawny M. Lara, and you can follow my blog at sobrietyparty.com, sobrietea. Lisa, where can we find your work?
You can find my work on my website, lisasmithadvisory.com. You can also find me on social at Girl Walks Out, and you can find my book, Girl Walks Out of a Bar, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any other bookselling websites.
And make sure to click subscribe whenever you're listening to our podcast. You can get new episodes from Lisa and I every week directly to your phone.
Exciting.
In your pocket, like Alanis Morissette.
And then if you like what you hear, please rate us and review us. And thanks so much again for listening.